From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. On today's Reporters Roundtable, we'll be talking about the implications of down-ticket losses for the GOP, the latest this week in Mississippi. We'll also talk about a very curious Obama T-shirt and a climate of racism that some Obama campaign workers have been reporting in Indiana. Big news out of the California Supreme Court yesterday, which overturned the ban on gay marriage. But will that be the last word on this debate in the Golden State? And finally, we'll look at a tragic police shooting in Inglewood, California, near Los Angeles, that left one young, unarmed black man dead, but has not been talked about very much in the national media. Joining us are Mara Schiavocampo, NBC News digital reporter, Bruce Dixon, managing editor of the online news journal BlackAgendaReport.com, and Deidre Childress, editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend Magazine. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hello, Tony.
Mara, nice to have you again, and I'm going to get your name clear this time, I promise you.
Okay.
I've been working on it. I'm going to get it. But let's talk about the election first. Tom Davis, the Virginia Republican congressman, said that GOP loss in the Mississippi special election, which was the third Republican loss this year, makes this the worst political atmosphere, these are his words, for the GOP since Watergate and far more toxic than 2006. Mara, what do you make of these results?
Well, it's the canary in the coal mine, or at least that's what they're afraid of, and they're very open about the fact that this is causing great concern for them. Nobody is trying to sugarcoat this. It causes a couple problems for them. First of all, this was their strategy. The strategy that they attempted in some of these special congressional races, which was linking Obama with the Democratic candidate in conservative districts, this was the strategy they were hoping they could ride on through November. They're seeing that it's not working, so they have to try to come up with another strategy. And another thing that's come to light that maybe they had or had not considered is the amount of African-American turnout. And so they're seeing now that the African-American turnout is really high. That's helping the Democratic candidates. In some cases, it may even be a backlash against the attempt to link Obama with these candidates, and people are coming out to vote and saying, no, we don't buy that. So it just created a lot of problems for them. Now they have to figure out how they're going to proceed in November to not suffer huge losses.
Bruce, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo, but I'm not hearing anything else.
You're not hearing the other? Yeah, we'll try to get that worked out technically. But if you can hear me, let me at least put this question to you. How could the Republicans not be aware of the possibility of these losses, assuming that they were not?
Well, I'm sure they are, but they're stuck with the hand they've got to play, and that's that. The other part of this, though, is that bad news for Republicans is not necessarily good news for Democratic voters.
What do you mean?
The Republicans tried in this case to use their national strategy against Obama, against a local candidate, and that just doesn't always work. This local candidate, by the way, though, is a relatively right-wing Democrat, anti-choice. I don't know if he's going to join the Blue Dogs, but if he does, he'll be another pro-war, pro-warrantless wiretapping, pro-torture Democrat. Yeah, we need a lot more of those, don't we?
Well, Deidre, let me put this to you. How much of this do you think these losses can be placed on the shoulders of the president, President Bush, who right now is suffering through a 69% disapproval rate?
I think a lot of it can, because I think that the GOP and a lot of politicians have really underestimated how unhappy our citizens are right now. I don't think they realize what it's like to go to the gas pump and fill your truck up for $60 or $70, or to go to the grocery store and be short on money to feed your family, to look out into the world and see that we're losing a war, and that, you know, their candidates saying, well, I might be able to end this in 2013. I might be able to get this this war taken care of after I have my first term. So I think one of the things that I've noticed is certainly how much the politicians in general are underestimating how unhappy our citizens are.
Let's move on to another topic. A Washington Post story earlier this week described racist incidents faced by the Obama campaign people in the state of Indiana. Campaign headquarters vandalized, racial slurs hurled at canvassers. There has not been a lot of coverage of this alleged hostility towards Obama campaign workers so far. But Bruce, coming to you first, there is a bar owner in Georgia that I understand in your neck of the woods who is selling T-shirts with the likeness of Curious George munching a banana and it reads, Obama in 88, the owner of the bar says it's cute. Others say it's just racist. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen that, but this bar is in a place right next door to downtown Marietta, and I drive by it 3 or 4 times a week. I meant to drive by there today and see what the racist message of the day is. They change it frequently. There have been many anti-Hillary messages there and a couple and anti-immigrant messages. The guy is just famous for this kind of nonsense. As a black person living in the South, there's a certain amount of white noise that you just put up with. You drive by a business that flies Confederate flags out front or has this racist stuff out in the front. You just know that they're not talking to you, and you keep driving.
Well, Mara,
the Obama campaign makes really good use of this stuff, though. Paradoxically, they use it to fire the troops up, and I don't know that it does the racists any good.
Well, let me bring Mara in on this, because some have suggested, as you almost just did, that the Obama campaign is not making a lot of reporting on incidents like this. Transcending race may be difficult if these things do become a part of the ongoing dialogue. What would be the logic behind how Obama's campaign would strategize using or not using these racially insensitive incidents?
Well, I think they don't want to use it. That's the strategy. They're going to try to downplay it as much as possible because they don't want this campaign to be about race. And Obama has built his campaign on a theme of bringing people together. And if you're talking about people who are vandalizing the campaign office or saying awful racial slurs to his campaign workers, that's an issue of divisiveness. And so I think that they're probably intentionally trying to downplay it and not mention it because it doesn't speak to the larger narrative of unity that they've been trying to build all along.
Deidre, let me ask you, because presidential campaigns are notorious for bringing out the worst in people in terms of what they say about the opponent, both in advertising on air, in print, and in some of the kinds of incidents that we are seeing now. But does the racial element make this any different in your view?
I think it does. I think what it points out is that we are still dealing with a lot of people who are very desperate, very unhappy with where they are in their own stations. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see how people deal with the racial reality that's coming on all of us. When you look at our children and you see that 44.5% of the children born in this country are children of color, you have to realize that there's going to be a point where we're all going to have to deal with a different racial reality. And I think that's what pushes this for a lot of people.
I want to move on to yet another topic in the time that we have left. We had yet another tragic police shooting, leaving a young unarmed black man dead early Sunday morning in Inglewood, which is a city southwest of Los Angeles. Interesting, though, that this incident has gotten very little coverage outside of the L.A. area. Deidre, you are in Philadelphia, a city currently reeling from a recent police misconduct incident that was captured on video from a news helicopter. How do you size up the national press coverage of officer misconduct, and what's your reaction to having perhaps not even heard about the shooting in Inglewood?
Well, I think on the East Coast, we hear about things more frequently because one of the problems with news coming out of California is the news cycle. I think the other thing is because we're in the Northeast Corridor, we get a lot of East Coast activism. But I think in the way that the bloggers brought the Gen 6 issue to the forefront, I think that that can happen in California if enough people realize that something happened there that is upsetting and that is something that we all need to address regarding police. Right here in Philadelphia, in fact, today, they announced that they had a different account of the police beatings that we had 10 days ago. They said that, you know, there were 3 suspects and a 4th man who emerged from a car. The 4th man fired shots. They pursued the 3 men who were eventually beaten on tape. And now today, they say there was no 4th man. So, again, we have to look at these things in a larger picture. And when we bring them all together, we realize that there's so much work to still be done between citizens and police officers, and in particularly in terms of our young men being out there and being, you know, beaten or shot without any weapons on their person at all.
Well, Mara, is it possible that we are becoming desensitized to this because it happens with such regularity?
I don't think that that's what's happening in this particular case. I agree with Deirdre that I think that we could be just seeing the beginning of this, that we may see bloggers talking about it as more information comes out. If it comes out that this really truly is the injustice that it seems to be on the surface, that we'll start to hear more about it. The other thing to keep in mind, because I hadn't heard about this until your producer told me about it, and so I took a look back at the Newsweek to see, well, what else was happening while we were missing this story. Monday you had China's earthquake. Tuesday was the West Virginia primary. Wednesday was Edwards' endorsement. I mean, this hasn't been a slow news week. So that's something to consider as well, in that, you know, there are huge stories that are happening right now that are taking our attention away from the smaller but equally important ones. But I do think that we could see, hear more about this as the facts continue to come out.
I have less than a minute, Bruce. I'm going to come to you. Do you think that not hearing much about a shooting like the one in Inglewood also has to do with the fact that here in Los Angeles, for example, the black population is 6-7%. It's so small that there doesn't seem to be the groundswell voice that you can get in larger eastern cities that have big black populations.
That could be true, but this is also a national problem, and this will get me in trouble with some Obama supporters, but I think he ought to step up, and he should have, if he had made some kind of real statement in the wake of the Sean Bell verdict that the law is going to be equally enforced for everybody under my Justice Department, then perhaps police would already be looking at the practices differently, and maybe this incident might not have happened.
All right, we'll have to stop it there. Thank you very much, Bruce, Mara, and Deirdre. Mara Schiavocampo, a digital reporter for NBC News. Bruce Dixon, managing editor of BlackAgendaReport.com, who joined us from the studios of Georgia Public Radio. Deirdre Childress is editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend Magazine. She joined us from Audio Post in Philadelphia. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you.